south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Hey, here's good news if you're a lemming. Guess what? U.S. pharmaceutical company Johnson & Johnson will be testing their new COVID-19 vaccine, guess where? Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Peru, Argentina, and Mexico. According to an article just released today, the landmark trial will involve 60,000 volunteers, with the trials getting underway in September. So, would you volunteer? Who in the hell with a half a brain would? Then again, it's free. You know how idiots and morons love free stuff. I guess that includes me, because I like free stuff once in a while, too. But nothing's for nothing, right? Meanwhile, a Chinese firm developing a vaccine called Sinopharm is recruiting 6,000 Chinese volunteers for the study. Yeah, right. In China, they knock at your door and they say, hey, we've got this vaccine trial going. The good news, Mr. Moto, is you're volunteering. And of course, there are other companies developing a so-called vaccine, including AstraZeneca. Hey, you know, I've been hearing the famous Dr. Fauci has a piece of that company. Have you heard that? Anyway, that company, whether Fauci's got a piece of it or not, will also be doing South American trials starting in Brazil, Peru, and the other Latin countries mentioned. So the good news for lemmings is that in September, the worldwide guinea pig trials begin. So aside from China, you volunteer and it's free. Such a deal, huh? Here's the thing. In the last few weeks, I've been asking various Latinos what they're going to do when the vaccine comes online. And every last one of them said they'll take it. Of course, that's to be expected because Latinos believe everything and anything that comes out of the U.S. gets the gold label stamp of approval. But you knew that already, right? Which brings me to an article that just popped up when I checked this morning's Yahoo News. Now, I know Yahoo News is 100% lame street media. But you know what they say, you have to read that kind of stuff to know what the enemy's doing, right? So as for my investigations, searches, and studies, about 90% of the time, I'm on alternative and real science websites. But even so, many of the science websites are getting corrupted too. I mean, look, you must have heard that there are many fools and morons who have rejected science as we know it. At least the sciences that were researched and invented by dead white guys. Even though that turns out to be around 95% of all the modern technology we use today. Look it up, do a search, and you'll find that lots and lots of people are saying these days that modern science is racist, including mathematics. Because, you know, these days, anything connected to old white guys, even if they were geniuses, is racist. More on that later. But I have to tell you, here in Latin America, there's none of that going around. No one down here is dissing old white guys' science. In fact, they embrace it. Nope, Latinos are not saying science or math is racist. 2 + 2 always equals 4 down here. Though I understand up by you now, even on college campuses. I should say especially on college campuses. Math answers are debatable. That's what they're saying. Some morons with a brain full of spirochetes are saying 2 + 2 = 5. So anyway, the title of this article in lamestream Yahoo News. I'm sure millions have read this. It jumps right out at you because its title says, I'm a doctor. And here's when you can safely keep your mask off. Don't worry, I'm not going to read any more of that article because it's pure bull. That said, riddle me this, Batman. Is the U.S. population so dumb and demented? Are they such followers of authoritarian numbskulls that they actually believe wearing a mask with a mesh with tiny holes 1,000 times larger than any virus could possibly fend off an airborne disease? Or are we perhaps at the stage that wearing a mask has become a false belief system, just like how people have believed since the invention of toilet paper, 100 or so years ago now? Before that, you know, it was the Sears catalog. Anyway, most of the world thinks that wiping your ass with Charmin somehow cleans and sanitizes your butthole. How about it? Are you a butt wipe denier? Sorry, folks, no matter how many times you wipe, whether it's 2, 3, or 4 ply, factory infused with the scent of morning tropical dew? Well, Sorry, folks, you've been had. Actually, the French got it right for once when they invented the bidet. And how many people do you know actually have one? Try zero, huh? Turns out Americans only see them in the movies or if they take a European vacation. Most thinking they're drinking fountains for midgets. Speaking of the French, and not to digress too much, what did the French actually contribute to the betterment of society? Let's see now. The croissant? French toast? Oh yes, and the French kiss and the French tickler. Am I showing my age there? Come on, how many of you remember the French tickler? Oh, and of course, my all-time favorite French invention, the guillotine. Actually named after the guy who invented it. I bet even today, if you're a relative, great-great-nephew Johnny Guillotine, let's say, I'll bet it's a real showstopper when you check into a hotel. Wait a minute. Johnny Guillotine. That'd be a great name for a metal band, huh? And I bet growing up with a name like that, people don't mess with you. You don't get bullied much. Oh, and to those of you who might be thinking the greatest thing the French ever did was invent French fries, well, they were actually invented by the Belgians. By the way, if you've ever been to Belgium, they sell French fries on the street. When you order them, they come in a cup, generally. They load them down with mayonnaise. Yuck. So look out for that. Oh, and Latin Americans are in love with mayonnaise, too. Whereas many gringos and expats eat everything with ketchup, for Latinos, it's mayonnaise, including slathering so much of it on corn on the cob that you can't even see the corn. What a revolting development. Corn on the cob with mayonnaise. No Latina kitchen would be complete without a couple of gallon jars of the stuff. But it's the corn on the cob thing that gets me. There are thousands of street vendors everywhere throughout Latin America selling corn on the cob. In Spanish, elote rostizado. Roasted corn in English. And as far as the flavor, it's really hit and miss. Because, you know, up in the States, there's a big difference between the kinds of corn. There's sweet corn and field corn. Of course, up in the States, it's all GMO, too. Ugh. However, down here in Latin America, no one makes that distinction. By the way, buying corn on the street in a little kiosk may be the only food you can buy from one of those little street vendors that's not going to provoke the bane of backpackers, Montezuma's Revenge. Because they keep part of the stalk on it and hand it to you like that right off the grill. In other words, they're not putting their dirty, grubby fingers on it before they hand it to you, like they will with a hot dog, tortilla, taco, hamburger, or anything else you order. Now remember, 99.9% of those little guys selling stuff off of food carts on the street do not have running water. They're using the same buckets they filled up in the morning to clean, soak, wipe down everything, and you don't want to know what else. And you know, people who've had Montezuma's Revenge have said, Johnny, I love that street food. It's so cheap. It smells so great. But I know I'm taking a chance. And many backpackers kind of accept Montezuma's Revenge as the price you pay for visiting Latin America, but it's really not so. And you know, I have to admit, when you walk past one of those food kiosks, what they're cooking up smells extremely good. Don't fall for it, with the one exception being grilled corn. But don't you let them load it up with mayonnaise or fake butter. Let them hand it to you by the stalk. That's how they do it. And you put on your own condiments. Oh, and I say fake butter because throughout Latin America, that's all they seem to use is margarine and those fake butter substitutes. Why not? It's 75% cheaper than butter. Now, if you're sitting down at a high-end or pretty decent restaurant, they'll give you the little butter pats, little individually wrapped squares, the real thing. Oddly enough, and I've seen it throughout Latin America, those little wrapped butter squares are coming from New Zealand, Australia, and France. Anywhere but Latin America, and I think dairy farmers down here have really dropped the ball. Local dairy farmers are everywhere, and they produce lots of milk and cheese. Meanwhile, every medium to upscale restaurant use nothing but imported butter squares. Imagine the cost of shipping that stuff from New Zealand. On top of that, there's import taxes. So in truth, even a tiny dairy farmer could probably divert his entire production to restaurant-style butter squares, and in no time completely wipe out the imported competition. But then again, that's just me, a gringo, looking at possible business niches. So the question is, why is it always us gringos and expats who think of those things? It's the gringo advantage, of course, never underestimate it. And really, to take the idea a bit farther, on any given day, you could drive out in the boonies 10 or 15 minutes from where you are, and you're bound to see a herd of cows grazing. So then why not pitch your idea to a local dairy farmer? Hey, that's how businesses start. You get the point. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah, the COVIDiot mask thing. So how can I or any of you listeners out there reconcile the fact that so many of the smartest people in the world, a lot of smart people that you know too, are falling for the COVIDiot scam? Whether it's masks, social distancing, spraying snot-like goop on your hands 10 times a day, etc., etc. Well, it's a fact that the most obsessively masked and socially distant communities are all college towns. How'd that happen? Colleges are supposed to be incubators for smart people, right? Of course, the mask and social distancing stuff always takes a back seat when BLM guys take to the streets and pillage. Because, you know, gender and racial protests supersede everything else. They're the untouchables, right? As mentioned, they're already saying that 2 plus 2 can equal 5 because old dead white guys came up with it. I'm sure you know deep down that geometry, algebra, and calculus are evil old white male concoctions designed to keep non-whites in the dark. Wait a minute, can I say dark? Give me a second, I have to check page 46 in my PC manual. Yep, I just did an internet search and I found there are hundreds of articles referencing the fake fact that 2 plus 2 doesn't necessarily equal 4. That, according to many, many brain-stunted boobs. Tell you what, I'd never want to get in a plane, subway, or a car if everyone with a brain didn't agree that 2 plus 2 equaled anything but 4. Unfortunately for the protesters, though, everything based on the old racist white guy math is questionable enough. Of course, you know, those boobs are not smart enough to mention that there were some important additions to our numerical base 10 system brought to Europe by invading Muslim Moors. And at the time, I think it was around 300 or 400 AD, when all of Europe was using the Roman numeral system. You know how that works, right? With X's, C's, V's, and L's. Well, when they saw the Arab system that had a zero in it, the Europeans didn't even use zeros yet, and that they could write huge numbers with just 3 or 4 digits that would normally take 10 times as much space if they used Roman numerals, they said, hey, these Muslim guys have something here, which is why we use the base 10 Arabic system now. That kind of throws a wrench into the old racist white guy math idea, doesn't it? And you know, that's part of the reason why I think the virus is genetically engineered. It's been manipulated into being the smartest virus ever known. For a virus, you could say it's on the level of genius. Let me explain it to you. And if you think my logic is flawed, let me know. I'm flexible. But look, this virus is so smart it knows that when you're at a social distance of 6 feet, it can't touch you. And when the local rules say social distancing is only 3 feet, it somehow picks up on that. It keeps away and knows when to back off when it's 3 feet. Ain't that brilliant? So it knows when the local rules are 6 feet and knows when to back off to a newer and shorter range when the local establishment you happen to be frequenting says 3 feet. But here's the real genius part. It knows when you're in a restaurant and you sit down and take your mask off to eat. It knows automatically to hang back and keep a respectable distance down by your plate. It knows not to jump up and screw with you. And how does it do that? What's the trigger? Well, I'm kind of thinking it detects the sound of the clinking of silverware. Quite possibly, you know, it's got a Cheeto and cheeseburger detector spliced into its genome. And it falls back accordingly, every time. I'll tell you, it's really something how smart and understanding this virus is. It knows the rules. Whether it's 6 foot, 3 foot, or a couple of inches when you sit down and eat, I'm telling you, it's no ordinary virus. For my money, genetically engineered and made in a lab, all right. While other viruses are dumb as a box of rocks. So my hat's off to all you brilliant guys who designed this thing, whether you're Chinese, NSA, U.S. Defense Department, Black Ops. Great job. All right, switching gears, let's get back to Argentina. Since I spoke about it, what is it, 2 shows ago now? I got a nice bunch of emails from people saying they were thinking about that as their plan B. Since they heard from people down there, they know, and info on the internet, that the U.S. dollar is super strong. And that if you get paid in dollars or have any kind of income stream coming from the States or whatever in dollars, it's something like 50% cheaper than it was a year or two ago. Well, you know, I'm in complete agreement. If you live in Argentina and you have dollars, it's extremely cheap. In fact, over the last 5 years, they've had around 30% year-over-year inflation, measured against the U.S. dollar, of course. Problem being, as mentioned a few shows ago, they've got severe dollar restrictions in Argentina. Precisely speaking, about a year ago, individual Argentines with individual bank accounts have been limited to buying only $200 a month by debiting their peso accounts in the bank. And Argentines with pesos can only legally convert $200 a month at currency exchanges and other legal outlets. And thus, a huge black or gray market, whatever you want to call it, has grown up around changing pesos to dollars and vice versa. Just like, guess where? Venezuela. All right, so here's the facts. Even if you're a tourist in Argentina, you're going to love this. Anything you pay with a credit card in Argentina, they're going to slap a 30% surcharge on it. Because, naturally, your credit card as a tourist is going to be in dollars, right? And again, if you try to use your U.S. or other country credit card or debit card to go to an ATM machine, you can only get pesos. That means that visitors, tourists, just like Argentines, will not be able to get their hands on any foreign currency like euros or dollars while in Argentina, even from your own bank account in Cleveland. Now, that's a lot different than other Latin countries like Mexico, Guatemala, Salvador, Costa Rica, Panama, Colombia, etc., where many ATM machines will dispense not only the local funny money, but U.S. dollar funny money, too. And in most cases, you'll pay something like $2 per transaction. So it's always good to take out the maximum daily amount. And in most Latin countries, that's $200 to $300 a day. Now, as mentioned, you can't get U.S. dollars from ATM machines in Argentina and only about $100 to $200 a month from a bank. However, on the street, the black market or gray market, actually they call it the blue market. Don't ask me why. Anyway, if, for example, you're buying currency on the street, the blue market, whatever, if you have dollars or euros and you're changing to the Argentine peso funny money, you'll get 20% more for your money than if you went to a bank. In other words, the guys on the street value dollars and euros so much over the local money, they're willing to pay 20% more than the bank. Of course, that means on the street you can buy as many dollars or pesos as you want. However, there are tons of fake U.S. hundreds, 50s, and 20s in South America, as there are millions of fake Argentine peso notes, too. And I, for one, can't tell the difference, can you? Unless it's a pretty bad job and it's very obvious. Although you and I could certainly tell a bad copy of a U.S. $100 bill, that's for sure. We would never be able to figure out if any of the denominations of Argentine pesos were fake. And that's the problem. Gringos, expats, and European tourists are now kind of stuck changing their money on the street because the banks won't give you any more than $200 a month in dollars or euros. And that means there's a good chance of being slipped some bad bills. Yet another reason Argentina's a bad move for your plan B. Though a very nice place to visit, if you can get a nice package deal. All right, just to lay out some other points and finish up on why Argentina's turned into South America's second biggest basket case behind Venezuela. Here's the short history. In recent memory, just in the past generation or so, Argentina's had an inflation rate as high as 5,000%. The military has taken over the country twice, and the government has defaulted on its sovereign debt 12 times in the last 25 years. Yet their bond issues keep selling out because they've got really high interest rates. But when they want to raise a bond issue, they go to skunks like J.P. Morgan, who wrap them up and sell them to insurance companies and such because they're paying out 10 or 15 or 20%. Problem is they don't pay out 10, 15, or 20% because they end up defaulting. But you knew that already, right? By the way, did you know that 100 years ago, there was a saying throughout the world, when someone was talking about a country or a person who is rich, they'd say, he's as rich as an Argentine. No joke, 100 years ago, Argentine farmers were the world's most productive when it came to sheep and cattle. In fact, Mark Twain was quoted as saying that Buenos Aires was the most spectacular city in the world, much more impressive than London, New York, or Paris. Broader avenues, more parks, trees, luxurious open spaces, and culture. So 100 years ago, it was the sixth richest country in the world, with an average income equal to the Brits. And now it went from number 6 to 80 on the list. In fact, even during the 1960s, Argentina had the same GDP per capita as Japan. So what the hell happened? And if you look closely at it, there's no social or cultural reason that explains how Argentina keeps collapsing, except to say they've got a huge malignant government structure. But what else is new? Turns out ever since way back in the Perón days, Argentina has gone through electoral cycles that have begun with a so-called new savior candidate promising greater largesse from the government, less inflation, less corruption, free stuff. You know, the usual BS promises that never come true. But the voters have Alzheimer's. They keep falling for it. Sound familiar? So really, since the 1950s anyway, Argentina just keeps going from crisis to crisis. And this year's estimate for year-over-year inflation is 50%. That means in a year's time, every single item for sale in Argentina is going to cost 50% more than it does right now. Now, of course, when you think about it, that's a fantastic opportunity if you've got U.S. dollars coming in. But the problem is to be able to convert it to pesos. in large enough quantities to buy something like a house, a car, or invest in a business. I take that back. You wouldn't want to invest in a business. No way. Why? For one thing, they've got twice as many strangling business regulations as the U.S. does. And you know how hard and expensive it is to open a business in the States. Though having an internet business is another thing. Brick and mortar? Forget about it. Speaking of Argentine banks, that reminds me of a famous saying that goes like this. A man with a gun can rob a bank. A man with a bank can rob the world. And the only way out of that corrupt system is gold, silver, and cryptocurrency. I hope you've got some. Oh, and about the crypto thing, if you're scared, have doubts, or just don't have the confidence to get in, just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll send you the info on Captain Mango's crypto course for beginners. Yep, he'll hold your hand and walk you through the whole thing. He definitely gets my vote and seal of approval. He's a very honest and trustworthy guy, even after a couple of tequilas. So as the world implodes around us, you'd be nuts if you don't have at least a small portion of your assets in crypto. By the way, I was just checking out the lamestream media in regards to the upcoming U.S. presidential election. And I caught this little blurb that I don't think anyone's paying attention to. It says here, Joe Biden has stated a number of times that if elected, he would make illegal immigration a non-criminal act. Guess what kind of message that sends to Latin Americans? Think about that one for a while. And you know, the weirdest thing of all, well, maybe it's not that weird. All the Latinos I know up in the States, around Chicago, ones who are citizens and born in the States, they hate illegal immigration because they came in the right way or were born there. And they totally reject the idea of people just sneaking in. They say they don't want to live next door to them either. Again, it's down to the fact that Po folks have Po habits. They bring the worst parts of their culture with them. Hey, that's not my quote. It's a quote from one of my Mexican-American high school friends up in Chicago. Does that sound racist to you? You know, I get lots of emails from people saying, Johnny, are there racists in Latin America? Well, the fact is, when we talk about racism, almost every ethnic group considers itself to be special or superior to their neighbors. I mean, that's the way humans are. That absolutely includes the Chinese, too. In fact, the Chinese, as a group, probably have more belief in their racial superiority than any other group I've ever met, except maybe the Japanese, who did ghastly experiments on captured Chinese in World War II. Remember that? That's one of the reasons why the Japanese and Chinese will forever be enemies. Racism's alive and well in Latin America, too. For example, the Colombians think they're better than the Venezuelans, who think they're better than the Brazilians, and Costa Ricans think they're better, classier, and smarter than Nicaraguans, who think they're one notch above people from Belize, who think they're smarter, más listo, that means more astute, than all of the other Central American countries because their native language is English, the language of gringos, who they all aspire to be. And the Mexicans, they look down on all their Latin neighbors, especially Guatemalans, who they refer to as hayseeds. And the Argentines, again with the Argentines, they think they're smarter, better looking, and more cultured than every other Latin country. They say that's because they've got more European blood than any other Latin country. And they actually do. Though there's an ongoing debate between Argentina, Costa Rica, and Chile as to who's classier, smarter, more cultured, even lighter and taller. Of course, we're not talking about outright confrontations or insults at parties or bare-knuckle fights. It's what Latinos whisper and say behind closed doors. In fact, I dare you to ask any Latino you know, whether you're up in the States or down here in Latin America. Ask them to rank the 20 Latin countries in the order of intellectual or cultural superiority, and you'll see what I mean. In fact, for my money, Latin Americans are much more racist than North Americans. But they're not in any way outspoken or violent about it. It just shows up in job opportunities, where people live, and the mix in the mating, dating, and romance game. So you've got the Argentines, the Costa Ricans, and the Chilenos thinking they're the smartest, brightest, and most cultured people in Latin America. Meanwhile, the Spanish in Spain look on their Latin colonies as a bunch of wayward or even retarded children. Talk about racist. The Spanish from Spain take the cake. And believe it or not, all Latin Americans kiss the asses of Spanish visitors and tourists when they come over to Latin America. Sure, they admit Spaniards are stuck up and haughty, but they still kiss their asses nevertheless, like they're superior beings or something. All because they originally come from the homeland. Believe me, I've seen Latinos of all stripes suck up to real 100% Spanish-born Spaniards, who, if you know a little Spanish yourself, are easily distinguished by their lispy accent. So be advised. The fact is, Latinos of all stripes suck up to them, yet they diss them behind their backs as prepotentes. That means stuck up, chip on the shoulder, superior attitude. Funny thing, though, old-timers look back on a time when Venezuela was the premier Latin country by far. They still remember some of the old guys when they were richer, more educated, and better off than anyone else in Latin America. All the other Latin countries, especially Colombia, they were envious and jealous. And it was worse with Colombia because they share a border. They've always had a great rivalry with Venezuela and even have gone to war a couple of times. Of course, now it's no contest. Venezuela's a failed state. And Colombians, they revel in that. But never to strangers, only behind closed doors. They figure Venezuela was way overdue for a comeuppance, and man, did they get it. By the way, and you may have heard me say this before, the best and most definitive way to judge the institutional racism in a particular Latin country, just go on the net, pick a Latin country, and look up a photo of the Congress of that country. Then notice the percentage of tall, light-skinned congressmen versus short, dark Latinos or indigenous types. Then go to that country's wiki page and note the percentage racial breakdown in the general population. What you'll notice is that every single Latin country is highly skewed to the tall, light-skinned classes, more pure Spanish blood, that would be, than short and dark Latino or indigenous types, though there are some Latin countries that are much improved on the general racial mix and opportunities, like Bolivia, Peru, and the DR. But still, in no way is it truly balanced. Also, check the teaching staff at the schools and universities. Check out their yearbook photos. You'll find the more expensive the school, the lighter and taller the teachers. As for the crappy public schools that are basically almost free, they're heavily skewed with short, dark-skinned teachers. So what can we surmise from all that? Well, it's pretty much that endemic racism exists in every country to some degree. For example, the Koreans think they're smarter and better than the Chinese, who don't much like them either, and the Japanese think they're smarter and better than everyone, and they might be in true intelligence anyway. Just check out the IQ scores for different cultures. So then how do you solve all that? Well, if advancement was based on pure meritocracy, the world would actually be a fair and better place, but it ain't so. So live with it and get over it. Because whatever you do, you're not going to make a dent. And if you stick your neck out, you just might get it chopped off. Especially in Central America, where practically everyone has a machete in the broom closet. Yep, a nice sharp machete. I've got two or three of them in the garage myself. Yep, they're what you might call a poor man's guillotine.
South of the border.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.
He knows Spanish language.